Okay, good evening. Welcome back. We are nearing the end of Shacharis. At 8:47 p.m., we are nearing the end of our Shacharis tour throughout the Siddur. Earlier today, my daughter came home with her lines. She's in kindergarten. She came home with her lines for the end of the year play. And her line is, Al ma ha'olam omeid. Ha'olam omeid al shlosha dvarim. Al ha'Torah, al ha'avodah, v'al gimilut chasadim. The world stands on three pillars of Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim, which I think is a better system than American culture, right? What does America run on? Donuts and coffee? That's what America runs on. But our value system is much more sublime. Our culture, our world, our understanding of the universe is the Torah. The world is sustained by Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. This question is going to be the question we are trying to answer tonight more in depth. Yes, Chazal and Pirkei Avos 1-1, give us the Rashi Prakim of understanding what the world stands on, but let's dive a little deeper, and we're going to find a very interesting understanding of what the world really stands on, especially during these difficult times. The Gemara Masecha Sota, the very, very end, tucked away on the last daf of Masecha Sota, has a very scary and frightening, and yet, at the same time, is trying to give us some comfort. The Mishnah, in source number 1, says, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer Mishim Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Yehoshua said, "Miyom shecharav beis hamikdash, ein yom she'ein bo klala." Ever since Churban Habayis, Bayis Sheni, every single day has terrible curses. And the Gemara adds on something more frightening. Amar Rava, "V'chol yom v'yom meruba kilalaso mishel chaviro." Every day, the curse only gets worse. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in the Tochacha and Devarim, "Baboker tomar mi tein erev." In the morning, we'll say, "Ah, who will give us?" Evening, uva erev tomar mi yitain boker, and the evening will say, who will give us morning? Hi boker, ask the Gemara, which morning is a person looking forward to? When a person is miserable at night, are they looking forward to the next morning, or are they wishing they had the morning of yesterday? The Gemara says, ilema boker delamachar, if the person is miserable, suffering, and curses, rachman alitzlan, at night, and they're saying, I can't wait till morning comes, miyada mai havi. How could the person be so confident things are going to be any better tomorrow morning? Maybe things are going to get worse tomorrow morning. Ela dechalef, the Gemara says that what a person's going to be truly experiencing is a sense of wistfulness. Remember when it was only X degrees bad yesterday? Now it's so much worse. And the next day they're going to say, remember yesterday wasn't as bad? I can't wait to go back to yesterday. The Gemara describes a terrible, harrowing sense of galus where each day is worse than the previous day. And that's really scary. So the Gemara wants to know, Ve'ela alma amai kamakayim. How does the world stand? What's holding up the world? What does the world run on? What's going to counteract these curses? How can we live in a world of curses where they're only getting worse and worse every single day? So if I was the Gemara, what would you answer? What would you answer? What does the world stand on? I would have said, Torah avoda and gimilut chasadim, like my five-year-old says. But the Gemara doesn't say that. What does the world run on? What's keeping us surviving in this galus where the curses are just packing up? Packing on day after day, akidusha de sidra. It's the kedusha that we say in the siddur, which is an organized kedusha. This refers to uvelet zion. Uvelet zion that we say after Ashrei every morning of Shacharis, except for Shabbos and Yantiv. Vayehei shmei rabba da'agadita. And the kaddish that we say after learning Torah on the Shabbos afternoon shir, where there's a kaddish after davening, that kaddish, vayehei shmei rabba. That's it. The world is in a terrible fit of despair. But you know what's keeping us alive? Uvalet Zion and Kaddish. Would any of you have picked that to be what saves the world? Question number one is, what are these curses? What's the Gemara talking about? Where are these curses coming from, and why are they getting worse every single day? Question number two is, what happened to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim? Why doesn't the Gemara say that's what keeps the world running? And question number three, if you had to pick anything that's keeping the world sustained during very difficult times of pain and times of galus, would you have picked Uvalet Zion? Would you have picked Kaddish? Now, we're going to focus more on Uvalet Zion as opposed to Kaddish, especially the Gemara is highlighting Kaddish after learning Torah, Kaddish Derabanan. We got to think about this, specifically highlighting Uvalet Zion at the end of our Shacharis. Why is that so impactful, and why does that keep the world running? The Shulchan Aruch, based on this Gemara, tells us just how serious we have to take Uvelet Zion. Shulchan Aruch in source number 2 writes, "Metargeminan kedushas Uvelet Zion." We have the Psukim Kadosh, 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 Baruch Chavod Hashem, the same Kedusha that we say in Yotzer Or, which we just say in Hebrew. We have Kedusha again in Kedusha, in Chazaras Hashatz, we just say it in Hebrew, but when it comes to Avodat Zion, all of a sudden we're actually translating it. There's the Aramaic translation after each line, Kadosh, 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 Kadish, 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 we say it in Aramaic as well. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, Kidei she'avinu akol, because back in the day, everybody spoke Aramaic. For some reason, it was important that this Kedusha, not the one in Yotzer or in Kriyashma, not the one in Chazaras Hashat, standing with her feet together, but for some reason, Kedusha de Sidra, this third Kedusha of the day, this Kedusha, Kadosh, 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 Baruch Avod Hashem Mimkamo, that we say in Avodat Zion, that one we have to translate so everyone can understand. Shulchan Aruch continues, V'tzarech lizarem bo me'od le'omro b'kavana. A person has to be very careful to say Avodat Zion with special kavana and focus. And the Shulchan Aruch says further, in Sif Beis, Aser la'adam latzeis mi'beis ha'kneses kodem kidusha desidra. A person may not leave shul before reciting Avodat Zion. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, De'kevan de'ha'olam miskayim al-zeh. The whole world is counting on this Avodat Zion. Tzarech lizarem mi'lezalzel b'zeh. You have to be careful to say it properly and not to disrespect it by having improper kavana or walking out of shul before it happens. And we're going to see soon, Avodat Zion is supposed to be said as part of its sibur. And therefore, it says the Mishnah Berurah, even if a person is going to leave early and recite Avodat Zion, they're not going to skip Avodat Zion today. They're going to say it on the train. They're going to say when they get home. The Mishnah Berurah says, unless you have some pressing circumstances, it's better to stay in shul and recite Avodat Zion in shul. Those bold parts of Avodat Zion should be said together as a tzibur. Not only is a person not allowed to leave shul, you might think a person should pack up their talis and tefillin and be waiting by the door. The second Avodat Zion is over, they're itching to leave. Says the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillin, in source number 4, Nahagu ha'olam shelo lachlot tefillin ad achar kedusha Avodat Zion. Don't take off your tefillin until after Avodat Zion. Time and time again, we're seeing this tremendous importance to Avodat Zion. Now, forgive me for saying this, but it never seems so important. It seems long, took a few pages, but that is holding up the entire world. We have to have extra kavana. Everybody needs to understand this. No one's allowed to leave. Keep your tefillin on. It's almost like davening isn't really over until you say Avodat Zion. I had Berchos HaShachar. And I had Karbanos, and Epsuka de Zimra, and Berchos Kriyashma, and then Shema, three Parshios, then more Berchos Kriyashma, then Shmona Esrei, then Chazaras Hashatz, maybe I had Hala, maybe I had Hachanan, I had Kriyas HaTorah, and you want to tell me, davening isn't really over yet, you haven't said Avodat Zion, you haven't said the Kedusha yet. I did say Kedusha, I said it in Yotzer Or, and I said it again in Chazaras Hashatz altogether. But davening isn't over yet, tefillin have to stay on. In fact, the Kaddish Tiskavel, that Kaddish that we say once per Shmona Esrei, where we ask Hashem to accept our tefillos, that Kaddish does not appear after Shmona Esrei. It doesn't appear after Chazaras Hashatz or Tachanun. It waits until after Kiddusha Desidra, until after Avodat Zion. Now we say Tiskavel, as if somehow this is part of Davin. This is the last thing before Kaddish Tiskavel, as if to say, this is the thing we're ending off with before we ask Hashem to accept our tefillos. We're going to have to understand tonight is, what is this? My daughter's not going to be able to memorize Avodat Zion for her play. Hard enough for her to remember the three things that the world stands on, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. For her to remember, Kiddusha Desidra is not going to be easy for her. And it's not easy for me to understand. What exactly is the significance of Kiddusha Desidra, of Avodat Zion? Why is it such a big deal? Why is that the clincher of davening? And before that, a person can't take off their tefillin, a person can't leave the shul, a person has some extra kavana, a person must know what they're saying. What is it about this clincher of davening? So to better understand what Avodat Zion is coming to do, and its significance, we're going to focus mainly tonight, I would say 99%, on Avodat Zion of Shacharis on a regular day. On Shabbos, it's moved to Mincha for reasons we'll discuss another time. On Motzei Shabbos, it's discussed, it's recited after Maariv, before making Havdalah. We'll discuss that another time. We're going to focus tonight on the Shacharis, the end of Shacharis, Avodat Zion during the week. So to address this question, I'd like to talk to you about Kabbalah. Hopefully I have your attention now. I'd like to talk to you about Kabbalah. Specifically, what I would consider a rational understanding of Kabbalah. Now, I don't have a lot of experience learning Kabbalah, and like many people, when I hear about Kabbalah, I get overwhelmed and confused, and my knowledge of Kabbalah is very, very limited. But I'd like to try to just take a moment to explain what I believe Kabbalah is trying to do. What is the purpose of Kabbalah? The study of Kabbalah, of spheros and sinoros and numbers and spheres, it's not really so esoteric. The content is esoteric. But the concept is actually something very basic and very, very rational. Consider the following. We live in a mundane world of physical objects, of time, of space. In this world, we act like the things around us have kedusha. But we have to ask the question, where does that kedusha come from? You take black ink and you form letters on parchment, and suddenly it has kedushas tefillin, kedushas sefer Torah. Where does that kedusha come from? What is creating that kedusha? We talk about a person who takes an animal and designates it as a karbon, and now the animal is hektish. By what means is the animal becoming hektish? By what means is a synagogue more kadosh than the building next door? Now, granted, my house is next door, so maybe that question is not so hard to answer. But what exactly gives kedusha space at Knesset? It's kedusha. Where is it coming from? By what mechanism is kedusha attaching itself to something, and we can't see that kedusha? What makes Shabbos have kedusha over the days of the week? We can't see that. So how does the time, the space, the objects, Trumos and Maestros, what allows these things to take place? How is there kedusha that we cannot see? Where is this kedusha coming from? And by what means is it attaching itself to the things, people, places, spaces, time around us? Clearly, there is a force beyond this world, a force of kedusha. Kadosh means to transcend. Kadosh, 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 kadosh baruch hu transcends the world. Kedusha means to transcend. And there's some ability for people, spaces, objects, to transcend this world when there's an application of kedusha. And that kedusha obviously comes from the other world. And Kabbalah tries to ask the question, where is the kedusha coming from? Where is the kedusha going? How does the kedusha get here? What forces and what means allow kedusha to come faster, to come slower? Where does it tend to go? And the details are beyond my understanding. But just the concept that there is a way to explain the mechanism of the transference of kedusha, the transmission of kedusha, is a very important and rational thing to understand. So here's my rational understanding of Kabbalah. The Gemara Maseches Yuma describes that the pipeline, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu transferred kedusha in creating this world, was through Eretz Yisrael, specifically in the Makom HaMikdash, specifically in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Mishnah Maseches Yuma describes when the Kohen Gadol would do the Avodah. This is actually based on last week's Parsha, Parsha Zachar Imos, when the Kohen Gadol would go once a year into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for a very special Avodah. During most of Bayis Rishon, there was an Aron Kodesh there, at which point he would stand and perform the special Avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But in Bayis, toward the end of Bayis Rishon, and throughout Bayis Sheni, there was no Aron. Yoshio HaMelech had hidden it away, and there was no longer an Aron Kodesh there. But there was this Evan Shasiyah. And the assumption is, the Gemara says, from the days of David HaMelech, who first, David and Shlomo together, who were involved in building the Beis HaMikdash, this Evan Shasiyah was there. This Evan Shasiyah was marking the spot from where HaKadosh Baruch Hu began creating this universe. That's what the Gemara says in source number 5. U'Shasiyah Haisa Nikres. This spot on the universe was called Shasiyah. Why? Tana the Braisa explains. Shemimena Hush Sasa Olam, the world was formed and founded through that one spot. Tanan Kiman Da'amar, this Mishnah follows the majority opinion. Mitzio Nivra Ha'olam. Hashem created this world starting with Tzion. Not just Israel, not just Jerusalem, not just Har HaBayis, not just the Makom HaMikdash, but this spot on the Kodesh HaKadashim, this is the spot where HaKadosh Baruch Hu began infusing the Kedusha of another world to form this world, and a world that has the ability to tolerate Kedusha that allows spaces, people, and time to transcend this world. Titania, Bachachamim Omrim, Mitzion Nivra, the world was created from Tzion, Shenamar Mizmarli Asaf, Kel Elokim Elokim, Hashem Elokim, Omer Mitzion Michlal Yofi. Mitzion, from Tzion, is the space where the beauty and the Kedusha of the world started to form. So to answer our Kabbalistic question of where does Kedusha in this world come from, the answer is from and through the Beis HaMikdash, from and through Yerushalayim, from and through Eretz Yisrael, and the Kedusha starts to transmit itself in lower and lower levels, radiating out from that Makom HaMikdash. In fact, Rashi on Az Yashir, in source number 6, describes a Mikdash Shalmata Kineged Mikdash Shalmala. Rashi describes there's some heavenly representation of the Mikdash in Shemayim, and that was directly opposite the Mikdash that was down here, and that was the pipeline. We're quoting Rashi and Gemara, we're not quoting Zohar's over here. The idea of Kabbalah, that there's some pipeline, there's some ability for Kedusha to transfer from the world that transcends us into this world to infuse our Sifrei Torah and our Tefillin and our Mitzvos and our Shabbos, where does that Kedusha come from? It comes through Eretz Yisrael, more specifically, it comes through the Mikdash. If that Mikdash is the pipeline through which we have Kedusha, we understand one of the great significances of the Beis HaMikdash, the ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean Hashem is here more than he is everywhere else. We take off our shoes, we go inside, we come to the regel to visit Hashem. Didn't Uncle Moshe tell us Hashem is here and he's there and he's everywhere? Yeah, but there's more dense concentration of Hashem in the spot where the Kedusha flows through. Those are the pipes where the Kedusha comes through. And all this is very nice and comforting when we had a Mikdash. But what happens when there is no Mikdash? What happens, Rachmana Litzlan, when we're living in a time when there is no Mikdash? We're back to our question now. Where does that Kedusha come from? Where does that sublime level of elevation channel through? Where is it coming? What makes this book more holy than that book? What makes this parchment more holy than another parchment? What makes this day of the week or this person or this union? How does anything have Kedusha? And the Maharal, in his commentary on Masechta Sota, says that's what the Gemara is describing when it says that the world is cursed in a post-Churban world. The world is without that channel. Where is that pipeline? Where is that vehicle that allows Kedusha to come into the world? Take a look at the Maharal in source number 7. He writes, V'yadua ki ha'olam hazeh mikushar u'mesudar im ha'olam ha'olyam. This world is tied and connected to the upper worlds. U'mekabal m'mena bracha. All good things, any elevation of Kedusha, any sense of bracha and closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is channeled through that connection. The kasher batal beis ha'mikdash, hare batal seder ha'kishur hazeh. Without a beis ha'mikdash, there is no pipeline. There is no connection. Ulaficha, kasher charav beis hamikdash, davar zeh gorim klala. When the Gemara said there's a curse in the world, that curse means it's the absence of any inflow of Kedusha. We're just left in an empty, cold, mundane world where books are books and ink is ink and parchment is parchment and, and hours of the day are hours of the day. We're living in a cold, terribly cursed world. And the world starts to change. And the Mishnah there in Sota describes that produce doesn't grow the same way, and miracles don't happen the same way, and safety isn't the same way. This is affecting everything. And Maharal explains, what does the Gemara mean that each day is worse than the previous day? It's a compounding interest. It's a compounding effect. When each day there's a lack of Kedusha, there's a lack of inflow of Kedusha, and everything is mundane, and the next day is more mundane than that, it just builds and compounds one on top of the other. So each day we say, do you remember yesterday when we were only 3 days removed from that Kedusha of inflow? And then 5 days later we say, remember when yesterday we were closer to that time when Kedusha was outflowing into our world? Megamara asked a scary question. So how are we supposed to survive? If the Kedusha really is transmitted and transferred through the Beis HaMikdash, and there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, Al Alma Amakayim, how can the world possibly survive? Through what mechanism is Kedusha being channeled into our world if there's no channel? Where is the Kedusha? Where is the significance? How is there Tefillah? How is there Beis HaKnesses? How are there Sifrei Torah? How is there Tefillin? How is there Kedusha? How is there anything? Any sense beyond the mundane doesn't seem possible when we've lost that pipeline. So the Gemara asked the million-dollar question, how can we survive? And what's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer is, you're right, it's a terrible thing, but at least we can counteract the new inflow of Klala. It's true, we don't have that pipeline, and we daven every single day for that Beis HaMikdash to come back. And if we didn't take it so seriously before, which I'm sure that's not the case for anybody, but if we didn't fully understand why it was so important to have a Beis HaMikdash, it's not just because we want to offer karbanos. It's because the world is not the same. The world is missing its direct pipeline. Any sense of Kedusha we feel on a yantiv, at a wedding, a certain simcha and a sublime sense of connection to the divine, that's all the tiniest fraction of what things should be. When the pipeline's open again and there's a direct influx of Kedusha, it's going to be a world of difference. And we daven for that every single day. But the Gemara's question isn't life fine? The Gemara's question is, how are we surviving? How are we treading water? We have to have some level of Kedusha. There has to be something coming into this world that's keeping us barely afloat. So what is it? Without Kedusha, we wouldn't be doing mitzvos. We wouldn't be able to dive into Hashem. There's something keeping the connection alive. Where is the Kedusha flowing through if it's not through the open pipe of the Beis HaMikdash? And the Gemara answers two things. Uvel Etzion and Kaddish, specifically Kaddish after learning Torah. Maharal doesn't explain why those things specifically, but he does highlight that these two tefillos, Uvel Etzion and Kaddish, have an interesting similarity. Look where it's underlined in source number 7. Uveshneim, and these two tefillos, Anu Omrim, Kaddish li'alam u'li'alamei l'maya. We say that in Uvel Etzion. Hashem is Kedusha, now, in this world, in all the worlds, and forever and ever. V'chein b'yehesh mei rabba, and Kaddish as well. What do we say? That exact same phrase. Maral gets to the Google search 500 years ago, and he says, you're not going to find that expression in any other tefillah in the world, except for Rav Elitzion and in Kaddish, where we say Hashem's name, the Kedusha of his name transcends all worlds and continues to exist forever and ever. Bavur ki elu beiz shavachem beprat mishav makadosh baruch hu mitzad olam haelyon v'aldavar zeh kayim haolam. He didn't explain why yet. We're going to have to explain why, but he's just saying these tefillos are that last link. In the absence of a beis hamikdash and in the absence of a very obvious and very generous influx of kedusha, we have these little tiny pipelines. The two tefillos in which we say to Hashem, your name is blessed forever and ever, and that connection is never going to be severed. The Kedusha of Shem Hashem continues to flow into this world. And that Kedusha of Hashem and his name is what gives us the possibility of Shabbos and Sefer Torah and Kedushin of marriage. Those are only possible because there's still some lifeline. And the tefillos that we're talking about, in fact, say that. And these are the only tefillos that highlight this element of Hashem's name transcending, not just now, but forever, even at a time when the open pipe has been destroyed. So now we have to ask the million-dollar question, which is, what is it about these things that allow us to retain a small sliver of Kedusha? What is it that we can call these our backup connections? In the absence of our big generator, in the absence of the open pipe between the Mikdash Shalmala and Mikdash Shalmata, what is it that we're able to use with these tefillos that connect us to Hashem? And if you look at Rashi, in source number 8, Rashi begins to answer the question for us. What do these two tefillos have in common? What are the elements of these tefillos that teach us how we can maintain a sense of Kedusha in this world, even in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash? So Rashi, in source number 8, writes the following. Rashi first translates that Kedusha de Sidra means Seder Kedusha, Shelo Tiknua Ela Shehu Kol Yisrael Oskin B'Torah V'Chol Yom Davar Muat. Rashi says, Vela Tzion was put at the end of our davening. And not just at the end of davening, like the Yom, it's right before Tiskabel. It's right before we say to Hashem, all right, clinch the deal, answer our tefillos. We want to end off with Talmud Torah. How is the Talmud Torah? She'omer Kriyaso Vitargumu. We have many psukim in davening. Psukim from Tanakh, psukim from Nevi'im, psukim from Ksuvim, many psukim from Tehillim. But these psukim, Kadosh, 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 Baruch Avod Hashem, these are the visions of Maisa Merkava, Yeshayahu, Yecheskel Hanavi, and we don't just recite these psukim, we recite the Targum. We recite the Targum, Yonasan, on those psukim, which is basically in Aramaic, which is how we translate. It's as if we are translating and actually learning something. Vehein ke'oskin b'torah, Rashi says. That's an act of learning. To recite psukim and their Targum is learning. The Kevan Shinohig B'chol Yisrael B'talmidim V'ami Ha'aretz, and since everyone's in shul, those who are learned, those who are not learned, those who plan on learning many more hours today, those who plan on learning nothing else today, even Kriyishma, which is psukim, and Kriyishma, you could say, is a bare minimum of Talmud Torah, Kriyishma is just a psukim. This is the only part of davening where we're actually translating the Targum. Rashi says this is the minimum amount of Torah that Chazal stuck in. V'yesh kan, this is an important line for our shir, V'yesh kan shtayim. And the highlight of Valetzion, says Rashi, why is it so important? Is it because it has these two elements. Kedusha Hashem, that's the obvious one. Kadosh, 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 Baruch Avod Hashem. These are the Kedusha of Hashem, the Malachim recite, and we're reciting it too. The Kedusha Hashem is an important element. Vitamin HaTorah, Chavavu. It makes it so precious. And Rashi says the same exact two elements are present. And the other thing the Gemara said keeps the world flowing. The Cheni Heishmei Rabbah Mevarach She'on and Acher Haggadah, the Kaddish Rabbanan that we recite after learning Torah, Shadarshan Doresh B'Rabim B'Chol Shabbos. People who weren't available to learn all week long would come to Shul Shabbos afternoon. They would hear a Shir, Hayinu Hagen Kach, V'Sham Hayu Nikbitzin Kola Am L'Shmoa, and everyone would come together because there was no work on Shabbos. That was like the main Talmud Torah for the entire week was Shabbos afternoon. And when they would recite Kaddish after that, and in Kaddish again, we again, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach Le'olam U'Le'olmei Amaya, that eternal praise of Hashem's name, after learning Torah, V'yesh Kan Torah V'Kiddush Hashem. Rashi is telling us, the reason the Gemara highlights these two tefillos, again, I wouldn't have picked it, you wouldn't have picked it, my five-year-old wouldn't have picked these two tefillos, but these two tefillos highlight a Kiddushas Hashem, our ability to sanctify Hashem's name, and a at least minimum amount of Talmud Torah every single day, and the main learning for Shabbos, main learning for the week, that's what we're highlighting. So Rashi just puts the question one step further. Okay, so it's about Talmud Torah and Kiddush Hashem. What is it about those things that allow the transference of Kedusha? When we had the open pipe, that was obvious. Why is Talmud Torah and why is Kiddush Hashem the kind of things that continue la'olam la'olme amaya that allow us to retain access to Kedusha, even in a world of galus? So let's start with Talmud Torah. What is it about Talmud Torah that allows us to retain that Kedusha from the upper worlds? Thursday, I would say, one of the more well-known ideas from the Zohar, one of the more well-known ideas in the world of Kabbalah, is the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Torah before he created the world. It would be a mistake to think that the Torah is just a history book that tells us what happened in the couple thousand years before the Torah came along, and then told us the ongoing events of Moshe's life and the mitzvahs. That would be a mistake. The Gemara says in several places the Torah was created 2,000 years or generations before the world was created. And it's with that Torah that was here before the world was created that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Now, we're a little confused because the Torah seems to have people's names. There's Moshe, there's Aaron, you have bad guys like Korach and Zimri. So those people's names were in there? So the Ramban, in his introduction to the Torah, talks about Hashem's names are also all the letters of the Torah. Maybe they were jumbled, maybe they were scrambled, but the entire Torah already existed before Hashem created the world. And the Zohar's expression is, Bara kut shebrichu alma, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, istakil baba araisa, Hashem looked in the Torah, ubara alma. I gave it to you from the Nefesh HaChayim in source number 9. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah and used the Torah to create the world. We mentioned before, the question Kabbalah is coming to answer is, how is the world created? By what means does Kedusha from the upper world, things that predate and supersede our world, to what extent can those elements be present in a mundane and physical world? And the Torah was the blueprint that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create the world. The Nefesh HaChaim, quoting from the Zohar, says something amazing. Really reverses cause and effect. On the second line of source number 9, he writes, Ta'ad lo is bari alma. Before the world was created, akdima saraisa, the Torah preceded it. Be'ura, what does that mean? Hashem created the heavens and the earth. So I thought that meant Hashem created the heavens and the earth, and the Torah afterward documents, by the way, God created the heavens and the earth. But that's, we have the cause and effect backwards. What really happened was, istakil b'hai mila ubaras hashamayim. Hashem took the blueprint that says, and God created the heaven and the earth. And God said, I'm going to use this blueprint and now create heaven and earth. The Torah predated the events it's describing, and it's through the Torah that Hashem described and created the world. The next pasuk says, "Ksiv b'avyomer lo kem yihi or." It's not that God created or and then wrote down, by the way, yesterday I created or. It's istakel b'hai mila. Hashem read those words in the blueprint, u'bara esa or. Reading about v'hi or made or. V'chein b'chol milo mila, that's exactly, says the Nefesh HaChaim, how the world was created. Ends off the Nefesh HaChaim, V'lachein amru b'zohar, de'oraisa hi nahiru, de'chol almin, v'chiyusa, v'kiyuma, v'sharasha de'kulhon. The Zohar says the Torah is the light of the entire world. It is the sustenance and the sustainability and the root of everything. This is exactly our question. We wanted to know, where does Kedusha come from? How does the world exist? How do we have any elements of sublime divinity in a world that's so mundane? And the pipeline was the Mikdash. But going back further, if the Mikdash is the pipeline that channeled, that was the checkpoint, that was the parallel Mikdash up and down, as Rashi said, if that was the checkpoint through which Kedusha came down, but the world was actually created using the Torah. And we still have that Torah. So when the Gemara says, we're lost, we don't have this pipeline anymore, how does the world survive? The Gemara's answer is anything that champions Torah, anything that champions not just one person learning someplace one thing, but anything that indicates that everybody, all of Am Yisrael, young and old, learned and not, working and not working, if every single person is involved in Talmud Torah, then the entire Jewish population is having access to that which provides Kedusha. And even absent a Mikdash, Rachmana Litzlan, we can't wait to get it back. It'll be much different then. But absent that, how does the world survive in a cold, cold world, in a mundane, mundane world? The Torah. And this tefillah, which not only has, Rashi said, an act of learning, because we recite psukim and their targum, we're actively learning. It's the minimum amount everyone is learning every day right before leaving shul. That's part of our tefillah. That's in there before Tiskabel. Why? Because we're not just learning, we're actually, and if you look at the Pesukim throughout the Avodat Zion, we're asking Hashem to help us remember our learning. We're asking Hashem to help us prioritize and value learning. I gave it to you from the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 10. The Aruch HaShulchan, more than any other source that I had time to research, really goes through step by step, line by line in the Avodat Zion and explains to you the flow. We're going to come back to the Aruch HaShulchan again later in this year. But the Aruch HaShulchan, phenomenally, goes through what seems to be, if you're not paying attention, or if you're like me and don't know what to look for, it looks like a random hodgepodge of random sukkim from different places, and there's no one theme. The Aruch HaShulchan has pages and pages explaining to you, carefully and thoughtfully, what is the hemshech, what is the continuity in Avodat Zion. And explaining, I pulled out a couple of paragraphs talking about the Talmud Torah aspect. The Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Dalet, in source number 10, he writes, after saying Ashrei Lam Netzeach, we say Avodat Zion Goel. Hashem is going to send us a Redeemer to bring us back to Beis HaMikdash, to bring us Mashiach and take us out of this terrible galus where we get that pipeline back. And then we too, on the second line, V'gam Anachnu, Achar Yancha B'yom Tzar, we say to Hashem, we're suffering in galus, we're suffering with curses, we're suffering in a terrible pain. That's a pasuk in Lam Netzeach. Then we go to Avodat Zion Goel. Hashem, give us that Redeemer, bring us back to Beis HaMikdash. And then we say, V'ani Zos Perisi Osam, and we say, Loyamushu mipicha, mipi zaracha, the Torah will never be forgotten. Explains the Aruch HaShulchan, Kilomar shalot tefached, shemei rov hatzaros, tishtachach Torah mi Yisrael. We should not be concerned that how are we supposed to maintain time for learning when we're being persecuted? How are we supposed to maintain authenticity for the Torah if we're unable to stay in one place over the course of our galus? Hashem promises us, this is my bris with you, the bris of Torah, the everlasting connection of Torah that always allows us to have access to Hashem and that Kedusha. In all times, in all circumstances, Kadosh Baruch Hu promises it will never desist from you and your children and your children's children forever and ever. We're not just learning. The act of reciting Pesukim in their Targum, Rashi said, is an act of learning. But we're also being mechazik ourselves. We are also reminding ourselves what it is that we have with the Torah, this everlasting connection that leads to the Geula. In Sif Zayin, in the next paragraph, the Aruch HaShulchan explains the end of Avodat Zion, where he goes on and on about different praises of Hashem. Baruch Hu Elokeinu Shebira Anu L'chvodo, which, by the way, is an important Nakuda point, not to be a kofer. When people say Baruch Hu Elokeinu Shebaranu L'chvodo, that means, God forbid, that blessed you Hashem, that we created you. Shebaranu means we created you. That would obviously not just be false, but would be absolute kfira. It's not Baranu, it's Biranu. You created us. Hashem created us for His honor. B'nas and Lanu Torah Sames V'chai Olam Natabes Elokeinu. It's a song. It's the bracha we make at the end of getting an aliyah, but we recite it in Avodat Zion. This is the paragraph where we're talking about the gift that He gave us, the Torah, that everlasting connection. And He goes through again, line by line, pasuk by pasuk, and what's the very end of Avodat Zion, where it's underlined in source number 10? U'mesayim b'pasuk Hashem chafetz l'man tzidko yagdil Torah v'yadir. What does that mean? The Aruch HaShulchan explains that we're about to leave shul, we're about to finish davening. And by the way, we can't leave shul until we say this. This is what we have to say before leaving shul. We say to Hashem, we understand because of our parnasa needs, it's not possible to learn all day and all night. And therefore, we feel bad that we can't learn Torah all day and all night. But we remind ourselves, the very last thing before Kaddish Tiskavil, before we clinch the tefillah, is saying, we understand Yagdil Torah V'yadir, our mission in this world is to create a world where Torah is learned, where Torah is studied, where Torah is appreciated, where Torah is wide and vast and being able to be studied. If it's a few minutes today on the train, then it's a few minutes today on the train. If it's coming back to shul for that big afternoon shir followed by Kaddish Derabanan, it's going to be that. But we have to remind ourselves for us and for the children, for the next generations, it's about being mechazik ourselves, to lomdei Torah. So now we have this element. We asked, in a world absent the open connection of the Beis HaMikdash and the absence of Hashem's glory, in that sense, how are we supposed to survive? What gives Kedusha to this world? And the Gemara says, Avodat Zion. Rashi said, because Avodat Zion has learning. The minimum amount to actually be learning a day, to say a couple of psukim, to recite the Targum, and on top of that, we also recite these psukim that put into context for us the value of Talmud Torah, the importance of Talmud Torah, the eternity of Talmud Torah and that connection, the ability to maintain a connection with Hashem forever and ever. And then we get to the second element, Rashi said. This Talmud Torah and Avodat Zion, so it makes it so critical. And the other one is Kedusha Hashem. You pointed out, it's getting a little bit tired. We already had Kedusha and Yotzer Or. We already had Kedusha standing in Chazaras Hashatz. Why are we saying Kedusha again now? But I want to suggest, it's a little bit different. I gave it to you from Rav Soloveitchik over here, but I want to say a little bit different than how Rav Soloveitchik said it. Rav Soloveitchik highlighted that there are really three different ways in which we recite Kedusha. They all include the psukim Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. They all include the psukim Baruch Vod Hashem Yimakomo. They include some variant in the first two, or at least in Kedusha, we say, Yimloch Hashem Li'olam Elokayach Tzion, Pasuk from Tehillim. But there's no Targum on Tehillim. There's no Targum on Tehillim. So we use a Pasuk, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Ve'ed. That's what we use in Avodah Tzion, because that's from Chumash. And there's Targum Unkelus from Azashir. There is Targum Unkelus on that. We use that in Avodah Tzion. But anyway, the main point is that there's different facets to Kedusha. Soloveitchik pointed this out. But the first Kedusha, and we talked about this in our Shir on Yotzer Or, the first Kedusha is just us describing a story. We are not reciting Kedusha in any sense during Yotzer Or. We are just describing the Malachim or having a debate. And some Malachim face some other Malachim and they say this and they say this. And some Malachim say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos, Malach HaLaretz Kevodo. And then these other Malachim turn back to them and they scream at them and they yell and they say, Baruch, Kevod, Hashem Yimakomo. We had a beautiful idea from Rabbi Reisman when we discussed our Shir on Yotzer Or. But what we're doing in Yotzer Or is we're not reciting Kedusha. We are telling over a story how the Malachim say Kedusha. We are passive observers in Yotzer Or. And then we come to the Kedusha of Chazaras HaShatz. And in Chazaras HaShatz, we do something very interesting. Soloveitchik points this out in paragraph number 2. As for the Kedusha, which constitutes an actual sanctification of God's name, however, unlike the first one, which was just us telling a story, now we're actively standing, we're going on our toes, we are trying to do some form of Kedusha in Chazaras HaShatz. There are two kinds still. Soloveitchik quotes in the Gemara in Chulin that the Malachim and Shemayim are not allowed to sing Shira to Hashem. They cannot do Kedusha until the Jewish people do Kedusha. And at the same time, we cannot say the same Kedusha that they say because they're allowed to say Hashem's special name, Shem HaMaforash, which we are not allowed to say. So the Malachim need us to start saying Kedusha so they can say Kedusha, and we need them to be able to say the real Kedusha of Hashem's real ineffable name, so our Kedusha with the name Adon is paralleling that Kedusha. And the way we introduce that Kedusha is very telling. Look at the end of paragraph 2. What we say is, Nekadesh Eshimcha Ba'olam. We say, we, human beings in this world, are going to recite some form of Kedusha in this world, Ba'olam. Kishem Shemakdishim Oso Bishmei Marom, just like the Malachim do in their world. We are highlighting this chasm, this gap, this broken bridge between that world and this world. That's our whole question tonight. How does the world run? Where does the Kedusha flow to us if that pipeline is broken? We point that in the second level of Kedusha. We're saying Kedusha here, and they're saying Kedusha there. We're not connecting with each other. There's a disconnect over here. But let us say Kedusha in our world, just like in a parallel universe, a literal parallel universe, they are saying their version of Kedusha in their world. And that is the second type of Kedusha. Not just a story. We are actually participating. We stand up. But our participation is more parallel to what's going on the other side of the gap, on the other side of that chasm, in the other world. Then we come to the third Kedusha. And this is where what I'm saying is a little bit different than what Soloveitchik said. The third type of Kedusha is not one in which we are saying something parallel. It's something that we actively say together with the Malachim. And we bridge that gap. We're not just observers on the other side of the gap. We're not just paralleling them on the other side of the gap. We now hold hands with the Malachim. We bridge that gap between the worlds, and we actually do it together. Rav Soloveitchik refers to this as what Nosach Sfard says, Keser yitnu lecha Hashem Elokeinu. A crown they're going to give you. They're going to crown and proclaim Hashem as king. Malachim hamoni mala, the angels who live up there in mala, Im Amcha Yisrael Kibbutz Imata, together with the Jewish people who are gathered down here. That is not the same as the introduction to the first Kedusha. Nekadesh Hashemcha Ba'olam, we're going to do Kedusha here. Kishem, just paralleling, not interacting, but paralleling what they're doing up there. In the Kedusha of Musaf for Nusaf Sfard, Malachim Hamone Mala, Im Amcha Yisrael Kibbutz Imata, those up there and those down here together. Now, for those, I grew up davening Nusach Sfard, so this is particularly exciting. But for those who don't daven Nusach Sfard, I'd like to suggest that this third element of Kedusha is what's going on in Avodah Tzion. A bridging of the gap. A Kedusha that's not just observing from far like we do in Yotzer Or, and not even a parallel form of Kedusha like we do standing in Chazaras HaShatz. This time, in Kedusha DeSidra, maybe we call it DeSidra, We are arranging it. We are bringing it all together. This Kedusha is not of watching, not of paralleling. It is Kedusha de Sidra. This Kedusha is all Mesudar. It's all linked together. What the Maral said, that Sidur is gone, the Sidur is back. In Avelat Zion, we bring back that Kedusha. Why? Because we no longer just recite what they say in Hebrew. We say our version in Aramaic. Again, working with the assumption back then when this Tefillah was composed, Aramaic was the spoken language of the time. It's almost like if we had an English translation right after saying it in Hebrew. That's obviously for us. The Gemara has an expression, Malachim don't understand Aramaic. We're obviously not saying it to the Malachim, obviously, but we're also saying our own version, and we're joining together. We say it in Hebrew first out loud, and we say, this is what you're saying, and this is what we're saying. And we're not just paralleling it together and saying, hey, you guys are saying this, we'll copy your words down here. That's Kedusha number two. Kedusha de Sidra, breaking it all together, is to say, we're going to say it out loud in Hebrew, what you guys are saying, and now we're going to add on our Targum, we're going to add on the version that we say, and we're going to bring it all together, Hebrew to Aramaic, back and forth, as if to say, now it's all coming together. A special Kedusha that actually bridges those worlds. If our question was, how is it possible to survive in a world without that Kedusha pipeline? How can we possibly live in a world of curses where there's no longer a mikdash, a direct connection between the worlds above and the worlds here? We have our two ingredients. We have our Torah, which was the blueprint of the entire world. And if everyone in Avelat Zion teaches us, everyone gets a minimal amount, everyone has to have some every single day. If we all, learned and unlearned alike, join together in that Talmud Torah, we maintain that connection between worlds. And secondly, as you recite the Kedusha in multiple languages, as you recite the Kedusha in multiple formats, we recite the Malachim's version in Hebrew out loud, and we recite the Aramaic version quietly as if to differentiate the two of them. What we're really highlighting is really the Kedusha de Sidra, the forms of coming together. We maintain a Kedusha with Hashem. We maintain this name of Hashem, which is also true for Kaddish, by the way. We are praising Hashem in Aramaic again. Again, our form of Kedusha. This is how we cling to Hashem forever and ever. Maintain that Kedusha. And that's the last thing we have to say before we can leave Shul, before we can take off our tefillin. Davening's not over until we internalize these two points, the Talmud Torah and the name of Hashem. To make that last point a little clearer, what is it about the name of Hashem that allows us to connect with Him? I want to end off with the Aruch HaShulchan. I mentioned before, the Aruch HaShulchan so systematically, so beautifully, just goes through line by line. And He gives us the last missing piece. He tells us why we're reciting Ashrei again. This part of davening is often known as Ashrei Avelat Zion. It's Ashrei Lametzeach and Avelat Zion. The Aruch HaShulchan says, surprisingly, Ashrei parallels Kedusha. The Aruch HaShulchan says, because there are two Kedushos in Shacharis, there are two Ashreis in Shacharis. And there's one Kedusha at Mincha, there's one Ashrei at Mincha. Now, there's really three Kedushos at Shacharis, but we're not counting Yotzer Or, that we're just telling over their story. But we engage in two types of Kedushos in Shacharis. So we have two Ashreis. And Ashrei really asks the question that we've been asking all along. We praise Hashem in Ashrei. Hashem is exalted. He is in another world. He is special. He is sublime. And then we ask Him, could you give us Parnasa? After having said, we're all looking to you for help. Ashrei is this conundrum. Ashrei says, Kodesh Baruch Hu is Aromimcha, I will elevate Him. Hashem is Kavod Hodecha. Hashem is elevated beyond this world. The Aruch HaShulchan says, it's just the same thing as saying, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Hashem is so far above us, and yet, He's Melech HaLaretz Kevodom. It raises that question. How can He be so elevated and so sublime, and yet be here? Where is that Kedusha? How do we have His influence? How do we have His Parnasa? How do we have the effects of Hashem in this world, if He's so sublime? That's the question Ashrei raises for us. Ashrei has to parallel Kedusha, because Ashrei and Kedusha are the same thing. Hashem is so elevated, and yet, how are we supposed to feel His effects all the way down here? Where is the bridge between Hashem and us, that world and this world? And the Aruch HaShulchan goes on to explain, and then we say, Lam Natzeach, and we say to Hashem, when we're in pain, Yancha b'yom tzera, we call out to you in pain, Yisagevcha Shem Elokei Yaakov, we call out Hashem's name. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes a Medrash, when we call out Hashem's name, we bring Him side by side with us. We call it Hashem's name. We even refer to Hashem. We say, Hashem. Why do we call Him Hashem? His name is His essence. His name is our ability to be with Him. If we're suffering in poverty, in physical pain, in gullus, in terrible fear, if we're suffering in different ways and we invoke Shem Hashem, Be'ez Tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Imo Anochi B'Tzara. I'm with you. I'm suffering together with you. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is suffering together with us, then he redeems himself and he redeems us as well. And this the Aruch HaShulchan explains is the flow to Uvel Etzion. If we're going to ask Hashem to send us the Geula, and we're going to ask Hashem to help us preserve in a world without a Beis HaMikdash, how are we supposed to survive in a world of curses, in a world of disconnect? We say it's all about that Shem Hashem. Call out Hashem's name in pain. Allow ourselves together, all of us, young and old, all those who speak Aramaic. But the point is the type of Kiddusha that invokes everybody coming together, the type that has us clinging to that blueprint of Torah, the kind that has us recognizing Shem Hashem in all of its different forms, in all the ways we bridge that gap. If we feel ourselves living a life of Kiddush Hashem, where we see Hashem, we're living a life of Hashem, then the curse has to go away. Imo Anochi Betzara, Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us, and he is working together with us. And that's what we say every single day at the end of davening. And so it turns out, looking to our last source of the night, the question we asked before, why doesn't the Gemara just simply answer, the world survives in Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chasadim? The Karen Aura says, the Gemara basically did say that. Because what these themes of Avel Tzion really are Torah and Avoda. The Torah is this minimal amount that we all have to learn every single day, and the psukim that remind us of the vitality of Torah and our ability to constantly connect to Hashem's Kedusha. And the Avodas Hashem, of being able to connect to Him, to serve Him, to devote ourselves to His name, to recognize His names like the angels, with all of creation together, to be able to feel Hashem in our terrible tzar and have that connection, that's the Torah and that's the Avoda. The only thing we're missing is the Gemilas Chasadim. And he writes, if we have the ability to connect to Hashem through Torah and Avoda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us that Gemilas Chasadim. He'll give us that Ashrei. He'll give us Poseach HaSidecha. He'll give us Parnasa. He will provide for us. Obviously, we have to channel it by being kind to each other as well. But these Avodas, this Avoda of Shem Hashem, Kiddusha Shem Hashem, and the Avoda of Talmud Torah, that Avel Tzion really encapsulates, these are the ideas that allow us to support the world, to live in a world even devoid of Beis HaMikdash, that allow us to maintain a connection that allows Hashem to continue showering us with Gemilas Chasadim. These are our takeaways for tonight. Post Churban, Avel Tzion, which we call Kiddusha de Sidra, is one of the tefillos holding up the entire world. We cannot leave the shul. Davening is not over. You can't take off your tefillin until after this tefillah. This is the clincher of davening. When we had a mikdash, it served as that bridge between the worlds. That was the channel to have Kiddusha, to feel Hashem's presence in our lives, that it wasn't just an empty world. We were living with something sublime and divine. That was something we lost in Churban. And therefore, during this time, we have to rely extra hard on the Torah as the blueprint of the world and that sense of Kiddush Hashem, which are the main themes of Avel Tzion. In addition to actually engaging in Talmud Torah, when we say Pesukim and their Targum, the Pesukim and Avel Tzion really remind us of the importance, the vitality, the eternality of Talmud Torah and passing it on to our children. And of course, Kiddusha de Sidra isn't just an observation of Kiddusha or paralleling them. In this form, we are actively engaging in that bridge. We are actively bringing Hashem into this world. And if we end off Shacharis with anything, it's going to be this realization that in order to have a life of Kiddusha, to bring Hashem into our subways and into our cars and to our offices and into our gardening and into our homes, if you want to have Hashem as we leave the shul, we have to have these two elements with us. We have to have a life of Torah, of Talmud Torah, and we have to have a life of Avoda, which is this Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying Hashem's name, seeing Hashem throughout the Galus, seeing Hashem with us at all times, and to be Zocha to receive His Chesed. We're all looking forward to the day of having back the Beis HaMikdash. Until that point, we're going to cling to these lessons that we end off every single day before davening is over. We can't leave until we reaffirm these values of Torah and Avoda of Kiddush Hashem, and we should be zocha soon to get back the full pipeline, the full connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, with the Beis HaMikdash. From here of Yemenu, Uvel Tzion Goel.